Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by a real serious improv podcaster. Tonight's review, Furby. I bought a Furby as a nostalgic joke. Joke's on me. Day one, adorable. Giggles, wiggles its ears, says, me love you. Day three, woke me up at 3 a.m. whispering in Furbish. I think it summoned something. Day five, I'm starting to ask it for life advice. Day seven, it blinked at me like it knew. I blinked back. We've reached an understanding. I fear it. I love it. 5 stars, Aaron M. Find your perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. AP, Islamabad, the capital of Pakistan, within days of the vote for the prime minister and other legislative offices. A Pakistani court convicted and sentenced former Prime Minister Imran Khan and his wife to 7 years in prison on a charge that their 2018 marriage violated the law. I welcome Arif Rafiq of Globally News, the editor, to comment on this conviction of Imran Khan, which adds to other convictions, I believe, now a total of 34 years to be spent in prison because of activities when he was prime minister or before. I note that it is important here to say Imran Khan, as he is sentenced to each of these events, sometimes selling property that wasn't theirs, sometimes accused of corruption, that he does not seem fazed by it, says whatever, and then goes back to being prisoner 804, sitting in detention while all of Pakistan looks to the vote. Arif, a very good evening to you. Imran Khan, the former prime minister, ambition to be prime minister again. He has a very large party called PTI. What does the party make of these serial convictions and the fact that he's now sentenced to 34 years? How is it going to react on election day? Because I'm understanding that they're largely barred from the franchise. Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me on. Well, PTI is actually not even allowed to take part in the polls as a party. And so the candidates that are aligned with Khan are running as independents. And so it's going to be very difficult for voters to identify who exactly are the candidates, but the party is working around those constraints. But, I mean, these convictions, there have been 3 convictions of Khan just in the past week. And the aim of the military, and everybody's pretty much aware of this in Pakistan, is to suppress voter turnout. In spite of all that they've done to Khan since his ouster from power in April 2022, his popularity has only grown, and it's maintained its height around a 60% plus approval rating. And so they've tried to tarnish his reputation, accusing him of corruption, even as you had indicated before, alleging that his marriage was conducted in an illegal fashion, his most recent marriage, and that it was not permissible on Islamic grounds because of a required gap period between his wife was previously just had been divorced, and there's supposed to be some gap period called an iddat. And so the argument there is that there was not sufficient gap there. In any event, voters can see through all this. So young Pakistanis make up nearly a majority of the electorate. Voters between the age of 18 and 35 are around 44% of the electorate. And so they're very well aware of what the military has done over the years, how they build politicians and tear them down. And so they have alternative sources of information, whether it's Facebook and Twitter or TikTok or YouTube. And so they've developed their own alternative information ecosystem, as we've seen in other parts of the world. And so they're no longer dependent on the sources of information that are derived from the military. And in fact, in Pakistan today, there is really a spirit of defiance because they know the game that is being played, and they don't want to be part of it.
The military remains all-powerful, I understand. However, once upon a time, Nawaz Sharif, the man who's about to be installed again as prime minister, was treated in the same brutal fashion by the army. I believe it was 2017, 2018, and Imran Khan was installed as the new face. So this appears to be something that the army is accustomed to. They change out prime ministers in order to maintain their power. Sharif was in exile in London for all these intervening years. Can we anticipate that Imran Khan will now go into exile, sort of like a prime minister on ice, until and if the army decides to call him back and jail Nawaz Sharif? Is this the game that's going on?
Well, there is this game of musical chairs that's been going on in Pakistan. And the expectation was that Khan would play to the script and seek a deal with the military and leave for London, where his ex-wife and his children are based. But he hasn't done that. In fact, he's sitting in prison and he's not going anywhere and he doesn't want to go anywhere. And so and the Pakistani public sees that and they respect it. They see it as a source of strength that he has the integrity to remain in his own country, is not seeking exile and living in some $2 million mansion abroad, that he's living in a prison. And is and as some voters say, he's doing this for our country. He's standing up for our country. And so he, you know, could very well in the coming years, seek some sort of deal with the military, but he's not going to leave the country. And so the military is certainly remains the central political force in the country, not in a legal fashion, but in a de facto form. And so it's going to remain that center of gravity. And so, as you alluded to, it plays this game balancing different political forces. First, it built up Sharif, then it removed him, then it, brought in these other political forces. In 2018, Khan came and, he rubbed some feathers, and so they booted him in 2022. But he's a sort of a glitch in the matrix, and he's not looking to run away from his own country. He wants to stay on the ground and live and die in his own country.
What does Sharif represent? I understand he's now blessed by the army. Does he have an important theme in his prospective premiership? The country has deep debts. It's not recovered from the flooding and the agricultural dislocation, and it's in a rough neighborhood. What does Sharif represent, presuming in a week or so he's prime minister again?
He no longer really represents anything, and that's as a result of his collusion with the military over the past year or so. So in recent election cycles, his theme has been, I was removed from power by the military. Things were good then, and now bring me back so I can bring back those good times and put us back on that track we were once on. But in 2022, the military installed his brother in power. And so that anti-establishment, that anti-military narrative was taken away from the party by virtue of its own decisions to collude with the military. It also, under its rule, inflation soared to 40%. And so those twin elements of his sort of political reputation, the defiance of the military and the, the economic handling, smooth handling of the economy, are no longer part of, the way the public views him. And so he's looking to sort of glide into power on the backs of the generals. And in all likelihood, the result that we're going to see on Thursday is some kind of hung parliament where no party gets a majority. And the military is probably going to exercise force on these independents that are allied with Khan to vote for whichever candidate they want to be prime minister. It could be Nawaz Sharif, or it could be his brother, Shahbaz Sharif, who is seen as more cooperative with the military.
And 30 seconds, Arif, does this strengthen the Pakistani Taliban, this disorder at the top?
It does, because, Pakistan needs political stability. It needs good governance. It needs economic growth. And it needs a strong local police forces that can combat this resurging terrorist movement inside the country. And so when the army and the intelligence services and the police are being deployed to repress mainstream political activists and not act against the Taliban,
right, then
everybody loses except for the Taliban.
Arif Rafiq, he's the editor of Globally News, a subscription site I recommend. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.